which used to work for us, as touted as being the beginning and ending of the world, the greatest thing since sliced bread and everything, and it's not. If it is, it's a surprise to me. We have a version of phase one called composite ratings on energy programs, which are a lot better than the TPR program. That is for rank beginners who do not want to do anything but break even and occasionally make a buck. It's easy, and like anything else that's easy, it's inadequate. It measures two pages, the second call and the third fraction. But let me tell you why it's superior to pace speed figures that you'll get from other sources. Did anybody ever wonder why, since Ray Talbot, on through Quirin, on through Quinn, on through Beyer, on through everybody else, nobody put the third fraction in there? Except for William Scott, Colonel Bradley, and us. How can you say that pace speed is final time and the second call? That's just not, doesn't make any sense. Because you ever notice the horse that runs the fastest second call relative to its final time is always best? And that's not reality. You know that a lot of horses close off the lead on the second call. But that's what that program does. At least it rates the third fraction, which makes it head and shoulders above other pace speed measurements. And it's fine, and I know Eric is still using it. I looked him up the other day. I was shocked to find out that he hadn't gone beyond that. God, you keep such good company up there, Eric. Don't you think you owe it to your social relationships to move up? Very few people here are using. How many of you are using phase one? Or some version of it? Are you winning with it?
Yeah, dashing three horses.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and Spencer ought to get together. I win 87% of the time. How much money? Well, I don't make any money. But boy, I should go to the window a lot. Yeah, that's fun. But listen, if going to the window a lot, you got a nice job. You sing a lot, don't you? You do a lot of singing.
Singing
and molesting women and things. I've heard about you. Anyhow, if you want to go to the window a lot, take the three horses and bet them, you'll be up there 87% of the time. And it's like the volume car dealer says, we don't make any money on the cars we sell, but we make it up in volume. So, what the hell? That pleases you to keep doing it. Phase three, that's phase one. It is not used feet per second. It uses a fifth of a second for a beaten length. It's very conventional. It's almost shamefully so. But it was something I gave to truck drivers, and I had a couple of recalcitrant guys who should have been truck drivers who helped write a book with me, who decided that they would take that and make their fortune. And there's a sucker born every minute, and they are making a fortune. Good for them. Phase three is a basic program we started with, which was considered dynamic, revolutionary, and caused all sorts of phenomenal reaction when I was very young, back in 1982. Nobody ever heard of a feet per second methodology at that time. It measured the feet per second value of the first, second, and third fraction of the second call, and it compounded various fractional elements to produce ratings like a factor W, which is a combination of early and sustained pace, factor X, which is a combination of first and third fraction, and sustained pace, which is a combination of the second call and the third fraction, and a few other little things thrown in. It was enhanced by changing the value of beaten lengths to their physics value as opposed to 10 feet even. If you change the value of a beaten length for 1/16th of a mile per length, you get a far more prognosticated program than you do if you use even beaten length. So we did improve it to that degree in synergism. And synergism had an automatic adjustment which adjusted every horse to an 80 speed rating. It wasn't bad, but it was in its day. So then we came up with Synergetic Matchup 2, which is our current program that's as close as you can get to both phase three and energy. It's kind of designed to not shock anybody who's used to velocity, and also give them many of the advantages of energy and deceleration. So it is the ideal program. And it also has the stop action instant pre-play screens in which you can see, we used to call that a compugraph. We just put X's there. Then Dick Mitchell stole that, so we decided we'd use horses. It's just a matter of staying ahead of the pirates. And the little horses are there, and they're very comforting. If you have a little trouble at the track, if you get thoroughmation, and you have kids, you can have them, you can teach them how to make book. And if you don't win at the track, you have the kids bring in their suckers or nickels or dimes or stuff, and the kids put some races in there, and the neighborhood kid bets on it. Now your kid knows who's going to win the race. So after he collects the money, pushes the button. Tom Brawhammer collected his Christmas money last year having been doing this. He won't admit it, but he had all his friends over and had them running thoroughmation across the screen, picked up a bundle. Boy, what some people do. But if you can't win at the track, you can make book at home playing with thoroughmation. It has a secondary value. So you get your money back for that program. Just a few imaginative nights. You know, instead of having people over for bridge or poker, let's have a night at the track. And you fix the races. You know who's going to win. And let them bet. You picked up a bundle. Believe me, I'm serious. You think I'm kidding, don't you? Listen. We have cookies and corn on the cob and wiener roast. What the hell wrong with having people come over and play thoroughmation with you? You may never want to go to the track again. This could catch on. And the cops can't arrest you. So think about it. Thoroughmation and energy is a derivation of energy in which we take the feet per second value of fractions and convert them into the energy exertion by the percentage of energy exertion per fraction. The beauty with energy ratings is, as opposed to velocity ratings, is this. How many of you were raised in the United States, England, or Germany? How many of you were not? Where were you guys raised? In Jamaica? Do they teach that fastest is better in Jamaica? I mean, that's kind of the English school system over there, isn't it? Okay, so it's, you know, pretty much in the English field that if it runs faster, it's got to be better, right? Okay. We look at velocity ratings, and we see a horse that runs 60.75 feet per second in the first fraction. We say, "Oh boy, look at that!" And we see these, and we bet on them because it's just a natural way we were raised. Fastest is bestest. And then when he doesn't win, we say, what the hell went wrong there? Now we convert this to energy, and we see that he did 36% of his total energy in the first fraction, 70% of the second call, 28.5% in the third fraction, and we've got a standard to judge. No horse in my track has ever won with less than 30% of its energy in the third fraction. No horse had won at this distance exerting 70%. When you convert it to energy, you can make negative decisions on positive numbers, and it's very difficult when you're doing it in velocity. It's just a magical trick to make people do what they should have done in the first place, understand that there is such a thing in racing as too fast, too early. And there's also such a thing as too late, too much, too late. And energy numbers allow you to make models of what will and will not win, parameters beyond which are not acceptable and within which are. Whereas velocity, unfortunately, people will not make those same parameters because they think fastest is bestest. So it's a psychological ruse as much as anything else, but it works. And remember, there's a pride of ownership. If you own something that's esoteric and everybody says it's hopelessly, absolutely impossible to understand, and you can understand it, just understanding it makes you superior. If you can't win, at least understand all my terminologies, and boy, your partner conversation will pick up big. You'll be wanted at all the parties. You can talk about kinetic energy and kinetic generators and energy ratios. Other people else talk, they talk about the speed. And besides which, if you haven't been on the inside of a mental hospital as a patient, if you talk this way enough, somebody will want to come and get you. And then everybody should spend a little time in a mental hospital. Well, those people got it made. How would you like to be able to, you know, visit the Taj Mahal anytime you wanted to, ride an elephant, climb Mount Everest, not even run out of breath? These people do this every day. You think they're unhappy? That society is miserable. Try to take these people out of these mental hospitals. 90% of them are happier and more blissful than they've ever been in their life. And we try to get them out, try to cure them. Boy, do they hate us. Why did you have to cure me? Damn it, I was having so much fun. I'm serious. It's all right. But there's not a lot of human misery in a mental hospital. It just looks miserable. It's a damn green paint they use. Someone said, why don't you like green? You work in a prison in a mental hospital long enough, you'll hate green. It's, oh, God, it's ugly. Any other questions there? You mean you all know everything? Yes, sir. The best program we have? The best program we have, we'll show you tomorrow. The best program we have is the new version of EXDC Theronation with the Sartan Pace number and the... You're laughing at it. Huh? Well, we've got Byron Pace. I wrote Sartan on Byron Speed. I wrote Sartan on Pace. We got a Pace number. We're going to sell it to the next competitor that the racing form comes up here. No, it's got the odds on probability. This amazes even Jimmy. It amazes Tom Ainsley. Even Jimmy's starting to use the computer now because of this. It'll just make everything so crystal clear to you that we'll probably never have another seminar after New Orleans. Just send tithe a little bit, send Christmas cards. But somebody will screw this up, I'm sure. Every time we think we got a foolproof method, foolproof program, we find somebody who can lose with it. And that's what keeps us young. Yes, ma'am.
Do you know when that'll be available to us?
That'll be available to you almost immediately. Do you have Theronation?
Yes, we do.
Okay, it's just a very inexpensive update with the additions up to it, with the new pace lines, the new entry lines.
What is it called again?
Well, it's just Theronation with the... But it's a new advanced, upgraded...
New advanced with,
Yeah, well... Sensational, new deluxe cheer. New and improved deluxe cheer. Yes, ma'am.
It has the changes in the racing form.
Yeah, it has the racing form changed. That was the first one. That's such a damn sham. They didn't change anything. They just changed what you looked at. The beaten legs still apply to the same places they applied before. There's nothing changed. Except you get to look at the quarter of a mile in Rousen and the mile time in the nine furlong. Yes, sir. Hey, you came awake there, Dr. Rod.
I'm awake.
Oh, yes, sir. Speak to the kiddies. This guy used to do a children's show on PBS.
I'll tell you one thing, right, to prove that I was just...
We had a voice there, but...
Prove that I was awake. Why did that horse hate you in the winner's circle?
I don't know. There's something about me. The dogs love me, but these horses, they all...
The racing form variant now. It has the usual variance and so forth, and it'll say three numbers and it's equal to zero. What the heck does that mean?
Where do you see this?
At the end of the charts, when they're giving you the variance.
Oh, those things down below, you mean? Those are those speed index ratings?
No, the variance at the end of the charts.
Down below, over there, forget it.
Just 2, 3, 5 is 8, 4, 5.
Oh,
and then they have 3, 3, 3, 3, 4, 5 is 0.
Damned if I know.
Is 0. I never heard of
it. I don't know. I didn't find out where they put the odds in the racing form until 2 years ago. I don't know. We have somebody back there who knows. Speak up. Let's hear from Seattle.
Well, they put two different ones in there. There's the route variant for that.
What was that again?
It's the same variant that you see in the running line, the baseline. Uh-huh. It's just the one. They group the route variant together to tell you these.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
No, they have the sprints.
Argue on your own time.
They have the sprints, then they have the roots,
yeah.
And then they have two or three races equal zero.
Because that's the type of race that's being run.
That's a zero race. Just use the speed rating. Forget all that crap.
I'm just interested.
I don't know. If I find out, I'll let you know. I don't want to know too much about this.
So why did the horse hate you?
I'm not able to lose it. Yeah, Sam knows, but Sam won't talk. Sam knows all this stuff. He's my...
When you see the same race number over again, and there's a zero rate, a zero variant.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's a simulcast race.
So simulcast race.
There's a low variant for that track.
See how easy that was?
Yeah.
Aren't I ashamed I didn't know that? Thank you, Sam. I want to thank you for those pills you gave me, too.
Did they help?
Oh, my God. Sunday night we're going to perform on the same stage with Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis did back there. They're moving us to another room.
Sammy Davis?
Yeah, the late Sammy Davis. No, we're going into the old showroom. It's got the big thing up there with flashes, the lights, and everything. And you'd be surprised how small those were. Back in 1954, I was in that room, the Sinatra deal. That was before he paid me $100 not to sing. Yes, sir.
What about about the entropy?
Entropy, that's the best, that's absolutely sensational. Entropy is the original, is truly our deceleration problem. The ratio of deceleration in entropy is proven to those who understand it, and you don't have to really understand it, you just have to love it, you know. You never meet a couple who've been married for 30, 40 years, and you get two different versions. We understand each other, and the other says we love each other. There's a hell of a lot of difference. Do you all appreciate that difference?
Yes.
You understand some certain handicapping programs, and you love others. If you love entropy, it will love you back, and it will do marvelous things for you. You're not supposed to understand it. Only I'm supposed to understand it. But it measures deceleration ratios by a whole sequence of numbers, none of which you're supposed to understand what they mean, such as EP, DV, turning pace deceleration velocity ratio, hidden pressure deceleration. Who cares what the hell they are? Just look at, add them up and see which is the lowest, and that's the one's the bet. The instructions for using entropy are specific. They leave no doubts, they have no ifs, ands, or buts, and those who are using it successfully are using it with great success. How about that Anton Hill? Am I correct there? Correct. The rights of moral judgment, I don't want to be right, I just want to be correct. It is a tremendous program. Too bad Vic's not here, he was going to stay, but I guess he found chasing girls or something.
He's at the bar.
He's at the bar? One of my people at the bar?
Talking.
No. I'll be there pretty soon.
Waiting for you.
Palermo was having a problem with the model. The model's trash. He plays Louisiana Downs in Arlington. And we were over in Vegas here, and he, naturally, I'm in town, and Bradshaw's here, and he's trying to show off a little bit, and his model fails him. The Louisiana Downs is supposed to run early, start at range or something, running sustained. Arlington doesn't do what it's supposed to. He's not losing, but he's losing about $60, and he doesn't like that. So I said, Vic, stop worrying about it. Just play your, go up and box the Quinella, your top low three ratings in entropy. He did it, and he won $600 in a day and a half with $15 bets. I mean, $5 Quinellas, which is boxing three horses, $15. He was tickled pink. It doesn't take a whole lot of thought. All the thought it takes for entropy is the thought that I put in it. You don't have to do a damn thing. In fact, if you'd use all the programs that way, how many of you, when you first got your program, regardless of what it was, won like crazy? That's not a hell of a great response. But some of you that kind of lie. My experience has been with the first couple of weeks. The first couple of weeks, people get the programs, they're unfamiliar with them, they read the manuals, they follow the instructions, they win. Now they figure a way to screw it up. And then they say, well, I was winning real good the first 2 weeks, but then something went wrong. I say, you know what went wrong? You went wrong. How many? We said, don't be using par times, and don't be changing pace lines, and don't do this, and don't do that. Now they get real smart. They buy pars. And they're going to, oh, if it's good this way, it's going to be better with pars. No, it ain't. They just can't resist buying something that will cause them to lose. So they buy somebody's part-time charts, or they buy somebody's horses to watch. Barry Meadows got a list of things, so somebody will buy that. And they think, well, if it's good what I've got, look, if I augment it with this. Or they buy some damn fool handicapper's report or something, and they try to mix and match. I'm not knocking any of these other people's products, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that we cannot make a smorgasbord out of this methodology. It will not mix with others. The methodology bears my personality stamp, and I don't mix with others, except for you, of course. But I'm not very well attuned to society in general. I'm an iconoclast and an individualist, and the method reflects the person who created it. And the method says that everybody else is wrong, and I'm right. Correct, if you will. Not because I'm correct and they're all incorrect. It's because if you're not winning, then you're not correct. If you're winning, you're correct. That's the measure of this method we're in, of this field we're in. If your desire and your aim in life is to win at the races and you fail, then you are not succeeding. And if the measures you're using, no matter how great and how wonderful the authors who conceived them, are not winning, then they're not worth a damn. And if people who are using par types devotedly are not winning, then as great as par types may be, they're not worth a damn. If people who are making their own variants based on par times are not winning, then they're not worth a damn. What is winning is all that's worth a damn in what we're doing. There is no such thing as theory, and theory being right. Only the fact. You cannot do as Einstein said, if the facts don't match the theory, change the facts. You cannot change the facts of racing. So the theory must meet the facts. You've got to go against the grain. And that's my nature, and I'm not pulling any punches about it. Those who use this method allegedly have assimilated some of the nature of its creator, which is, if the masses are losing, don't do what the masses do, do something different. If you want to be popular, you can join the masses, and if you believe all the masses' myths and legends, then join the masses and lose. 95% of the people who go to the race on any given day lose. And the 5% who win the money that the 95% lose, and that's the way of racing. How many of you believe a Mike Warren ad where all of his clients are getting $9, $19 mutuals every day? I mean,
back to sleep.
You've got to understand the parimutuel system, folks, and stop dreaming. 95% of the people have to lose for 5% to win, and the 5% who win, only 2% of those win consistently. That is proven, a given, absolute incontrovertible fact. Be among the 2%. If you do what the 95% do, if you believe in the crap that they believe in, you're going to be a part of the 95%. Do you want to be a part of the 2% of them? Give me a show of hands here. How many want to be a part of the 95%? Okay. Then you've got to adopt some of this attitude, a personal attitude, an arrogant attitude, if you will. God, if you think I'm arrogant, when did you meet Bradshaw tomorrow? And in his own quiet way, Brohammer. Yes, sir?
Doc, would you please discuss behavior cycle?
Behavior cycle. Okay. Horses, this is how we got Jimmy Bradshaw to win. Jimmy Bradshaw was a absolutely confirmed loser. And he was also a Hall of Fame Oklahoma track coach, if you can believe it. So Jimmy came to me and said, gosh, you'd like to win some of them races. I said, well, Jimmy, you above all people should be able to win races because you're a track coach. I said, horses and human beings all have behavioral cycles, are conditioned responses to their behavior, and horses, the difference between horses and human beings is, human runners and horse runners, is that they're more predictable than humans. My God, that's right, some of them damn track guys, I get up and get drunk, they ain't worth a dang next day. I said, the horses don't go out and get drunk. Hey, there you are, Vic. Jeez, I was going to have you do your great testimonial. I'll drink it again, huh? Horses have a behavior cycle. Now, the best way for us to detect, and I'm glad you brought this up, because the pluses, the O's, and the plus within the O are an ideal way to determine a horse's behavior cycle. An even better way is to use your pace of the race, pace of the horse portion on your computer program. How many of you have a pace of the race, pace of the horse? Most of you do. Even phase three has it. It's just a little hidden. Reread your yellow manual, the 14 pages dedicated to an anatomy of a horse in motion, which goes over the horse called Cumpleaños. I think I could remember that, Cumpleaños, what it was, 1982 wrote this. It showed when the horse was improving its relationship of its velocity to the velocity of the race it ran against. This was a method of getting a stable of horses, of determining a horse's behavior. When you look at a horse and you say that a race in which it finished in the money, or up close, first, second, third, or a close fourth, or within a certain number of lengths, depending on the speed of the race, is a plus race. This is a race in which the horse does well. Now, a zero race should be the easiest in the world to determine. That's when he does lousy. When he does none of the above, he just has a bad race. Now, the one that you want to be very aware of, and the one that really tells you about behavioral cycles, is a plus within a zero. Some examples of that. Unfortunately, Spencer's machine won't work, because we had this all plotted out for you on this giant expensive mechanism here. One of the things, and if anyone wants to add some, let me know. Shows early speed and then fades. Is a plus within a zero, because the horse showed some life. When I say early speed, I mean early velocity. Not running close up against real slow fraction, but good early. When a horse makes a significant move from one fractional component to another, like he goes from fourth to second, makes a big move somewhere in the race, either from the first to the second fraction, or from the second to the third, or the second call to the third. A big move is a plus within a zero. It shows the horse was coming to life. It showed some action. Be wary of, very wary that he wasn't running against a horrendously slow pace and did something. All of this is contingent upon your being aware that he did it against a reasonable pace. And you all should be able to know what that is. Pluses within O's are anytime a horse makes a significant move, or when a horse comes in with some kind of a show of effort. You'll have to determine for yourself whether that show of effort was early, in the middle portion of the race, or late in the race. The most important, however, plus within an O, is a horse who has an 80 speed rating. And when I say 80 speed rating, I mean adjusted 80. Sam Wada has given us a set of three-year best times, which will be in the follow-up next issue. And if you and we have in this manual, that you'll get tomorrow, a means of determining the value of a speed rating from one track to another. You just put down what 100 is and go down the list, and we'll show you how to do that for those who don't automatically know how to do it. So if a horse runs a 77 at one track, but that would be an 80 at today's track, that becomes an 80. The reason we say 80 is a plus within a zero is that in the United States and Canada, the average speed rating of winning horses at all distances, and remember we're talking about a lot of cheap tracks too, is 80. The speed rating, statistically, is far superior to the buyer numbers in evaluating a horse. If you have them both, you're even better off. We're going to show you a way of using the speed rating and the buyer number in conjunction, which should help you very, those of you who are not overly ambitious and want to do it with the matchup, the Brohammer Bradshaw way, who want to do it in a more mechanistic way, we'll show you how to do it. And the odd thing about this is when you go over Brohammer's and Bradshaw's races and most of the other experts' races, you'll find that even though they're not using this technique, the horses they pick would have also come if they had used this technique, which strengthens its value. But you all have a hint of what it is. It was in the last follow-up and will be pursued at this seminar tomorrow and Sunday. So do a form cycle on every horse. Give it every line it's got for a while. For a while. Don't make a career out of it. Every line it's got a plus, a zero, or a plus within a no. Now you'll see a rhythmic cycle. Two bad, one good, two bad, one good, three bad, two good, whatever the horse's cycle is. Some horses you will not be able to get a cycle on. This is an imperfect world. You will not be able to do it mechanistically with every horse, but you will see a rhythmic cycle. You know, you'll see the horse will either be a waltz or be a foxtrot or be a jitterbug. You get to see the horse's rhythm. Fall into the rhythm of the horse. Hey, the horse is the thing that you're wagering on. You better get its rhythm. If it wants to sing the blues, you better learn how to sing the blues. If it wants to sing in ragtime, you better learn to sing in ragtime. And this is how you know the horse's rhythm. By the pluses, no, you get a sense of it. And if you don't get a sense of it, give me a call. Because maybe you ain't got no rhythm. Boy, if you don't have any rhythm in this business, you're in trouble. This is a very rhythm-oriented business. So get some rhythm. Everybody can be taught rhythm. Yes, sir.
Doc, will somebody this weekend be going over making adjustments?
What program do you have?
Thorough Nation.
Thorough Nation makes its own adjustments. If you start making your own, I will show you how sometimes you use that free adjustment in there, yeah.
A question then, when you've selected a baseline to enter into the computer, should you be considering using something that Rohammer used in his book, such as...
Well, you can't mix. If you want to do what Rohammer does, you do exactly what Rohammer does, and don't pay attention to what anybody else does. Now, I want to warn you about that. If you're not as good as... It took Rohammer... Let's see, he's 50, he started when he was age 17. You're willing to go maybe 20 years before you catch on? Rohammer has tried to teach his technique. We've had special classes for it. We have had him to take people into his home, and it doesn't work. So what Rohammer will tell you is, hey, listen, Thoromation's automatic adjustments do just about the same. You'll notice that I win all of Rohammer's races tomorrow by using the two adjustment Thoromation. He makes Mickey Mouse with the pace line. He doesn't tell me what he does. He sends me the races the way they come out of the form, and I have to win them for him. He wins them by fooling around with those pace lines, yeah. But if you want to go into that, then you get with Rohammer. And God rest you, merry gentlemen, if you do it, I'll be the first to praise you.
If, for example, you picked a pace line from a minor track running on concrete, for example.
Yeah, you would put Turf Paradise, let's say.
You'd put that right into the, without any adjustment?
Well, you've got to classify the horse first. At what level can a Turf Paradise horse reasonably be expected to win at whatever track you're measuring?
Let's assume...
It's better off when you don't know, because the computer will get rid of that Turf Paradise horse even if you don't know how to get rid of it. Because they run very weak third fractions.
Let's assume he came out with an 80 speed rating adjustment or something.
That's about a 79 something. You're making a problem. You're making a problem. Because I've been doing this for 18 years with those kinds of horses at every track in the country. And the less I know about those things, the more I win.
So just put it in.
Put them in, and you're going to lose 30% of the races anyway. Maybe that's why you lost it.
Second part of the question. Will someone go over when to use the two adjustments?
Yes, oh yes. That'll be very primary in this seminar. When to use the two and when to use the one. Did you notice one thing on your program, though? You never are asked to even consider the two adjustment unless the program says it might need it. It'll never come up if you don't need it. You don't have to make that decision. It's not asking you to make it. If it doesn't need it, you won't see the sign that says this horse needs to be to it. This race needs to be to adjusted. So don't worry about it. Then it says if it needs to adjusting, make sure this horse is a true contender. That's where all the long shots come from the two adjustment. You'll see race after race tomorrow for the two adjustment. The problem is that you have just admitted what we started this thing about. You admitted having fear of not knowing. You know how you know? Do what I do. Sit in front of the damn computer hour after hour, do race after race, and pretty soon, by doing it, you will have answered the question. But we're not knocking it. In fact, that's why we're here. And we'll spend a great deal of time on that. Oh my God, he's back. Hey, Tom, would you do 5 minutes on how to screw around with the pace lines and get the winner using part-time adjustments? Can you do that in 2 minutes?
2 minutes.
No, it took you, what, 27 years to learn how to do it?
9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. You know, if you can't make it, we'll vamp until you are here. You're a star. Any other questions? That's a good question, and it always comes up. But let me tell you something. You've got two choices, one or two. When you try to do what Tom does, you've got 17 different decisions to make on an average. Should I change the pace line? Should I use a par adjustment? Did this horse run over par, under par? Is this how was it that day? You got all sorts of things you got to know. See, we went to all this trouble to come up with a program that would get you 70% without all that. And because you're a pioneer type of guy, you want to do it yourself, that's fine. Get with Jay Elliott, he does that by himself. Yes, sir.
Using the newspaper the day after the races.
That's yeah.
Handicapping profile, the track profile. Which one do you use that?
Okay.
Handicap model, track profile.
Anybody want to go to the bathroom or anything, just go ahead. Who wants to know the difference between a track model and a track profile? The suggestion being that the delineation between the two is a track model is what we call a Brohammer model, in which you model your own handicapping. If from your own handicapping you're finding that there is a model like Factor W or whatever particular you're using, early pace or medium pace, total pace, that it has a model, that certain rankings are winning. The profile is made from the results charts and is not as good because it tells you what they did after the fact. But it does give you some index, for instance, if you don't overdo it, as to how the track is running. If somebody had kept a profile of Delmar on their energy generator, and we have another program called Selector, which averages for you. If somebody kept a profile of Delmar, they wouldn't be playing Delmar the way they played Hollywood and complain that they couldn't win at Delmar, because the profile was entirely different. The results charts demonstrated a entirely different energy yield at Delmar than at Hollywood. And at Santa Anita. And Pomona changes from time to time, but is fairly uniform when the weather is uniform by distance. Don't try to keep a profile of all distances, and they have to do it by separate distance. Profile is from the results. A model is from your handicapping. A model is better because it says how you're doing, not how it was done after the fact. But how I make a profile is I measure the third fraction. I know what the average third fraction winning at every distance of my track, like 25 at 6 furlongs. If yesterday they were winning in 24 and 2, I know the track is running sustained. Very simple. If they're running 26, I know it was running extra early. You can do it over one cup of coffee. You don't have to make a life's work out of it. Just know how that track is running. What are the parameters of the median energy and the third fraction that are winning by distance? And you'll know. We did this up at Vancouver when I went up there for a seminar with Ms. Santerre. We looked at the first race and we said, and you could get to say, hey, that horse is going to die right there. Sometimes you have to fudge a little bit. You die 1 inch later. But you can tell when they're going to die. And then all of a sudden, came the ninth race, they had 11 races, and all of a sudden, they were holding on. Well, they packed the track down or whatever the hell happened, and the early was winning. So you may lose one race during the transition, but just use your head. Hey, look. And it's fun. It's fun because you get that feeling, that godlike feeling. And then you get the confidence, and you lose all your fear. You say, they're going to die there. We had a guy in New York who used to get a pop gun, took it to Belmont, one of those little kids' toy guns. And he was indoctrinating people into the methodology. So he would aim it at the TV set. And he'd have to be pretty clever. He was doing the same thing I was. And he'd say, okay, pow, and a little cork would shoot out. And that's when the horse, the early speed, was supposed to die. And it was working real well until some guy is watching him doing this, some New Yorker. Not one of ours. And he turns to the guard, hey! He shot my horse! He shot my horse! And the guard says, no, sir, your horse is still alive. No, he shot him! And it crossed damn near a riot. And the guard came over to our guy and said, let's put the pop gun into the will call until the races are over. So they never shot him again, but it was fun. For those New Yorkers, they were about ready to kill this guy, shooting their horse. But if you've got to be able to do this. Bradshaw loves to do this. He shows up. This race is going to be run about 22:145 and 2:111. And he misses it by a tenth of a second and he gets all upset. Well, eat that damn jockey bit, baseball. Got the Pat Day probably on that dang horse. No, these are the things that give you the confidence, that make this power of the prophecies, what we all seek. Because since time immemorial, the prophets have been the most honored of all people. That's what you all want to be, is prophets. And if you want to have some prophets from your prophecy, then you talk to David Berrios. Any other questions here? Yes, sir?
Could you address how to use a sprint pace line for a route race?
How to use a sprint pace line for a route, I sure will. A, you do not want to be getting all upset because there are sprinters going into today's route, just because they're there. A sprinter, and you should determine what track is your home track.
Well, I live up in Portland, so.
Portland, oh, you don't have a home track. You have Portland Meadows. That's too bad. You know, the problem with Portland Meadows is that the damn state of Washington intimidated them. They had their own meet, have it in the summer. I've lived in Portland for 3 years, and anybody running that rain is crazy. If I were a horse, I would have struck years ago. Yeah. But at any rate, you look to see, and Portland's probably 7. Down here, it's 5 speed points greater. 5 racing, you know, 85. We just all weekend we had this. Last 2 days with Ron Ross over in who won 9 for 9 yesterday. Anytime a horse in a sprint didn't have 5 or higher speed rating, he wouldn't even consider it. Now when you get to 5 or 6 or 7, or whatever it is at your track, don't say when I say 5, I'm talking about what I know about specific tracks. At some tracks, it's different. So find out what it is. Now you're looking for 2 kinds of sprinters who might win. A real fast early sprinter goes all the way, or a sprinter who lags behind, runs like a 20, counting beaten lengths, 23, 47, 111. He likes to extend his energy very similar, not identical, to what's winning at the route. If you know what median energy is winning at your route, let's say 68-40, and this horse runs 68-70 in a sprint, he's not a 69 plus, he wants a route. He's begging for a route. Now, if he qualifies, you use the multiplier. What program do you have?
Matchup and intricate.
Okay, the matchup doesn't have a multiplier on it. We have it's in follow-ups. We'll give you the multiplier. What you do is you multiply the fractions by a given number, and it projects them into route fractions, and it does it pretty well. But if it can't go, don't be fooling with it. Don't try to force it to be a winner. There are certain kinds of, and let me tell you the best way. Let me tell you how I derive my answer, by doing it, and by failing. And by learning not to get too scared when sprinters went into routes, unless they had some inordinate quality. Now, in a matchup, when in doubt, use the 2 adjustment and look on the sustained pace screen. If the sprinter comes in the top 2 on the sustained pace screen, despite that 2 adjustment which penalizes it, that will win. Now, there are certain tracks, and Portland Meadows may be one. I know that Lake Longacres was this way. They run sprints at Longacres. Random, I should say. I'm directing them, blah, 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 possible benefit. They ran them faster than they ran routes relative to the distance. So sprinters at Longacres frequently ran routes and came in 2nd, even more than they won. Very good exactly. But there is no Longacres. Requiem on Cox Side East. Yes, sir. Any other questions? Yes?
Getting back to modeling.
Specifics
that you get in terms of age, sex, and class?
Don't delineate too closely. He wants to know about modeling by age, sex, and class. The best models are females.
Bravo.
Unless you happen to be a female.
Very good.
Now, outside of that, that's the only place where, never mind sex, except when it comes to interpersonal relationship. Model by distance. Model by high, low, and medium class. Like your top allowance horse, your stakes, but you make a 4th for stakes. Lower class, but don't. And model the class by their total energy, as opposed to what the man-made class is. If a horse runs 172, in a sprint, 172 total energy, just because he's running at 10,000, does that make him a $10,000 horse? No, he's running at the same velocity as higher class horses. So do them high, low, and average. But more important than anything is to do it by each distance. The relationship between males and females is the same. Their time's not the same. But you find the relationship is.
Same for age, all 3-year-olds, older?
The relationship's the same. I mean, they're going to be different. 4 years, you're going to run faster. But they're going to have the same relationship. When you're modeling early, sustained, various readouts, as opposed to their total energy. So just figure that they run early. The lower the class, the faster they run early. The higher the class, the more they run sustained. If you learn that, you'll have no problem. Higher class races are more contested, therefore, are won by less early energy. The lower the class, the more apt a horse is to get out in front and take an easy lead and hold on to it. But generally speaking, don't make your model, ask Vic Palermo, don't make your model so stringent that if it goes awry, you're going to lose for a day. And when in doubt, play the best horse. Best horse wins more often than the model. Yes. Questions?